Turn in your Bibles. We'll start at 2 Corinthians 3. This is one of my favorite messages. I want to talk to you about an operation of the right hand of God. We would talk a lot about the face of God around here. The face of God is not just standing in the face of God and I want to go before his face. I want to see your face and be in your presence. Face of God is an operation where you can move into the unlimited realm of God. It's where he brought Abraham. That day when he said, walk before me and be thou perfect. It's not really what it said. He said, today you will walk before my face and I will perfect you. Abraham had been carrying the promises since 75 years old. He was 99, 24 years of carrying the promises and he had not been able to give birth. And God walked him that day through his generation. He took a walk. He took a walk with the Father. The Father took him out of time and he walked him out. And if you understand, if you read the Bible, because Apostle Paul actually caught it perfectly in Romans 4. He says, the father of many nations, I have made thee. But if you read back in Genesis, they didn't actually interpret it that way, except if you get into the original language where they actually did interpret it, because he was speaking from a position of past tense. What he said to him, he said, a father of many nations, I made thee. What he did when he started walking with him, as he got to a position in time, God spoke it. And when God spoke it, it was done. Kings have come out of your loins. He didn't say kings will come. He said kings have come out of your loins. In fact, the Spirit of God told me, if you're going to understand this revelation, you'll have to go the original context, the original language. And I looked up, what's it called? Yeah, the literal. He literally said, you'll have to look at the literal. And so I looked at the literal and all of them confirmed this. He said, the father of many nations, I've made thee. And as he got him further, he goes, kings have come out of your loins. So he moved him from promises, I will do this for you. Face of God, I've done this for you. That makes all the difference in the world. When God speaks from the done realm, it's done. Because that's where he lives. He doesn't even begin your life till he finishes it first. He finishes everything and then he begins you into a journey from a finished place. So he said, kings have come out of your loins. A father of many nations, I've made thee. Say, made thee. And so we know he did that because when Jesus was walking the earth, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. They couldn't understand it because they didn't understand God. But that was the day he saw the Lord. He went past and he saw the seed that was in his loins. He saw the seed that would inherit all things, which is Christ. And he witnessed his birth. He witnessed past because God said, I have made thee a father of many nations. So he went past the cross that day. No telling how far he went. Enoch did the same thing. God walked him out. Isaiah did. Isaiah said, show me your glory. Remember when Isaiah said that? And all of a sudden, Isaiah is writing about his day. He's writing about the day that the children of Israel will be in the promised land. And then he's writing about our day. At the end, those end books of Isaiah from 60 on, those are all about our day and what is to come. What happens when you get exposed to God? You get exposed to the realm of his glory. And the realm of his glory is finished. It's a done place. Why is that important? Because if you ever want to have faith that can transform the world, you're going to have to get out from your world. You're going to have to get out of an environment where the enemy controls. So God can move you into a realm that's done. In a realm that's done, a realm that's finished, a realm that's complete is the perfect realm. And if you can get your faith situated in a completed realm, you're going to find better results than trying to fight this realm and try to find the kind of faith that moves God in this realm. Because this realm's dominated by circumstance. So if all you do is fight, all the enemy's going to do is bring one circumstance after another, either that or he's going to try to drag you into your past, but either way, he's going to try to wear you down. But there's one place where the enemy has no defense, and that is what you consider your future, but God considers done. So if we can get you your faith, we'll say, well, I don't know how to do that. I'm going to teach you how to do that, because it doesn't require God encountering you to do this. In other words, it doesn't require God taking you supernaturally and shifting you like he did Abraham. Because our dispensation, he's already finished this thing. So I'm going to show you how to do this with his word. And we've learned how to do this. We learn to move out of where we are. And that's how we get breakthrough. The way we truly get breakthrough is we move out of this realm into God's realm, but specifically the realm that's done. Say done. We call this the face of God. I have a whole series on the website if you want to watch it, listen to it, because it'll help your faith. It totally revolutionized my faith, because believe it or not, God has some very serious things for us to do around here. We're not a little church with a taco stand. We may look like a church with a taco stand, but the Lord told me, their worship, he goes, go back in that room, and he goes, go sit down. And he goes, every word in this prayer room, those are not just pictures on the wall. They're constitutions embedded in every picture on this wall of that prayer room in there. They're constitutions of his word, lifetime promises. And we're already seeing some of that come out over this nation already. We're watching it happen. The Lord spoke to me. He said, sit down for a minute. I'm like, Lord, we're in the middle of service. He goes, they're fine. He said, sit down. He goes, every word in this room is about to become flesh and dwell among humanity. I'm like, whoa. The word become flesh and dwell among men. Today I want to talk to you about face of God in a light maybe I haven't taught in a while. So we're going to begin in 2 Corinthians 3:18. What he's doing in this particular chapter here is he's differentiating the glory of the law that was with Moses versus the glory of our covenant, which is the new creation, and the glory of the finished work. The word, even in the New Testament will have words for you now, and the New Testament will also have words that are done. Already, say done. They're not going to happen, they've already done. And so we're going to focus on a little bit of that today. So I want you to just look for a minute at verse 18 for the sake of time. It says, we all, 2 Corinthians 3:18, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Say same image. From glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So he says with open face. Say open face. Moses was veiled. We have an open face. Covenant. Are changed into the same image. But notice what he says, beholding as in a mirror. What do you behold when you're standing in front of a mirror? You behold a face. I'm quite certain he's not talking about you beholding your face. Amen? I don't think you're going to stand in front of a mirror beholding your face and be changed in the same image you're looking at, because you're already in that image. Some of you like what you see in the mirror. Some of you don't like what you see in the mirror. But that's not the mirror he's talking about. There's another mirror. Look at your neighbor and say, there's another mirror. There's a mirror that reflects, when you stand in front of it, that reflects the face of Christ or the finished work of Christ. When you look at it, it has the power to transform you. Because this mirror is not reflecting who you are presently. It's reflecting a finished work, who you are presently in Christ. Who you are presently and who you are presently in Christ are two different things. The way we're going to change, if what we do is always grinding it out through trials and testings to change, which will happen. How many of you have been changed through the wilderness? If you haven't been changed through the wilderness, just hang on. Sit down, hang on, because you will. Because we all go through those testings and trials, and we come out changed. It's very hard type of change, but we come out changed. There's a different mechanism that God is going to use in this last days to transform us, because he is returning for a church without spot or wrinkle or without spot or blemish. We're not going to get there in our present way that we change. We're going to get there by his glory, by Him introducing us to a finished work in transforming us from glory to glory into the same image we're beholding. Which means Christ had to enter into our finality. He had to obtain the finality of man. He had to obtain perfection for all of us. As a man, he obtained perfection. And then he entered into the Father in perfection of spirit, soul, and body. The Bible says our body will be fashioned like his glorious body. It actually says our vile body will be fashioned like his glorious body. We got a new body, we got a new soul, we got a new mind, we got a new heart. We have just what happened to our spirit immediately we were born again is going to happen to our soul and body, but we don't have to wait for that day because he's inviting us into the transformation now. But he's inviting us in a way that we have to do it his way. There is a mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the greatest of them all? Christ. He is reflecting a finished position if you know how to get in front of it. And there's multiple finished positions in Christ. There's one for your righteousness. There's one for your soul. There's one for your body. There's one that makes you whole. There's actually a mirror that he's bringing out in our generation. The kingly glory. The king, the second coming king. He's going to crown a whole generation with his glory. All this is done, by the way. Now I'm going to get into that a little bit. Go over to James chapter 1. What we need to do is have what I say, seven spirits of God, Holy Spirit, focus us into a finished work. If you have no image or revelation of your finished position, it's going to be very hard to obtain. God has to give us revelation or encounter, but encounter, which you'll see in a second, he wants us to do this continuously. He's not going to continuously lift you out of where you are into where he is by encounter. You're not going to wake up and have that happen to you every day. An encounter is good, but that encounter, as glorious it may be, that encounter is going to wear off. So there's no way that we can just simply encounter continuously without his word. Amen? If we're waiting for an encounter, we're never going to get there. Amen? We have to encounter something that's already done. There must be some kind of anchor we can anchor. So in other words, this mirror, it's not a mirror that we're just waiting, mirror, mirror on the wall, when are you going to transform me and make me tall? Mirror, mirror on the wall. It's not going to work like that. The mirror is already done. And what I'm going to show you is the mirror is in his word. But it's not the word that you read every day, your 5-minute Bible time. That's not what I'm talking about, your 5-minute Bible study. That's not the mirror I'm talking about. There is a mirror in his word that actually reveals your completion. There's a mirror in his word that reveals your finality. And it's already spoken as done and complete. And there's a way that you can interact with that and keep it, keep yourself in front of it until it transforms you into the image you're looking at. So this is where the Lord started honing us into. And there's multiple places you can hone into. But let me give you the revelation, and I'll share some of the examples with you. Because there is a level of transformation coming into end time church, an end time people. We're going to transform into life. We're going to transform into the, we're going to start partaking of the realm that's to come. Before I do this, let me just share a couple examples. David and Abraham actually walked in our dispensation before their time. The Bible says they had accounted righteousness. Accounted righteousness, what that meant is though they both had spiritually dead nature, everybody before Christ had a spiritually dead nature. All the Jews, they all did. They kept the law, but they kept it with a spiritually dead nature. None of them were born again in their spirit. They could not obtain that. That was not for their generation. But it said that David and Abraham both obtained accounted righteousness. Meaning they got to walk like you and I do as born again. Our spirit is born again, translated out of death to life. They got to walk like us before their time. The Bible is very clear. Romans said that they did. Yeah, God didn't impute the sin against them. Even though the sin was there, he didn't impute it. God's not imputing sin against you because your spirit is already born again. Well, how come I sin? Because you still wear a body. You still wear a soul. Your soul wasn't born again. Even though we're saving souls, you're actually saving spirits. You're saving the eternal part of somebody. But how many know your mind wasn't born again and your emotions wasn't born again? Don't you wish God would have kind of added that at least? I kind of like, Lord, if you would have added our soul and body, I mean our soul, just the mind, will, and emotions, it would have made our job a lot easier. And all we had to do is overcome the body. So the body wasn't born again, but it is going to be born again. How many of you know he's going to fashion your body like his? Woo! Isn't that going to be a good day when you, in the sound of the trumpet, all of a sudden your body starts emanating life for eternity? You don't ever have to struggle with temptation in the body. You'll be turned from death to life just like that. Your body literally will emanate life and light. A fountain will spring up from within you with eternal life. It'll spring up with love, joy, and peace continuously. For eternity, it'll never stop springing up. And your soul, your mind, will, and emotions won't be weighted down. You won't have any generational dysfunction to deal with. It is life. And so they say in heaven, people who go there, what happens is because life is generating at such a degree, it's just a matter of time wherever they go that a spontaneous breakout of glory will happen because you can't contain it. And so wherever you go, all of a sudden, it'll just well up within somebody. They can't stand it. They go, glory to God. Jesse Plant's talking about when he went to heaven. He said, because it's so spontaneous everywhere you go. Glory to God's breaking out because they can't contain. They got to glory. They have to give voice. And then as soon as they do, the person next to them, they'll all break out in this. Everybody's breaking out in glory all the time. Spontaneous worship because the wellspring's within you. Isn't that awesome? That's the way it's going to be. You thought you were just going to float around on clouds eating angel food cake? I mean, it's glory all the time. That's the way it is. Think about in the next level, it's spirit, soul, and body filled with life all the time. What are you going to, you're going to give voice to it. It's going to go, glory! It's an awesome thing. And it's very much to look forward to. But we want to obtain now because the more of these things we can obtain, the more authority we're going to have in the earth. Because there is a people that are going to overcome death in the last days. The Bible says there's a river that's going to flow out into the earth. Ezekiel 47's waters and everything that's going to flow into the Dead Sea of humanity and everything that's dead is going to live again. This is what we want to obtain. Amen. There's actually two great rivers. One of them will go to the Great Sea. That's the Sea of Commerce. One of them go to the Dead Sea. That's the Sea of humanity. Both waters will come out in the end times. Amen. I want both of them. Look at your neighbor and say, I want both of them. We have a lot to say about both of those waters. But if we're going to get those waters, we need to move into God's design and how he wants to bring these forward. So let's look at James 1. Now what I'm about to say to you, we do every day. We do it whether we like it or we don't like it. But generally the flesh, the Bible says the spirit's will and the flesh is weak. Generally your flesh will give way. If your spirit gets strong enough, your flesh will bow down. But if you let your flesh rule your life, this will never become an operation in your life. This is for the strong. I know who I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to the one percenters here. Amen. But I'm speaking to the ones that are going to make it all the way. Because there is a way to put the old man down and the new man to override all things. Amen. Solomon said, I've seen servants upon horses and princes walking on the face of the earth. I've seen the most unusual thing. And you understand that scripture, what he's saying there is the horse is the body. The servant is the soul. And the prince is your spirit. Your soul should never have the reins of your body. Because if your soul has the reins of your body and the prince has been unseated, you're going to have a lack of divine order and it's going to get you in trouble the rest of your life. Your soul, mind, will, and emotions cannot run your life with your body. If you do that, it's going to constantly steer you into trouble. The spirit of a man should be upon that horse, and the spirit of the man should have control. God deals with your spirit. He has the reins of the body, and the soul should follow behind, not be upon the horse. The soul should be in a position under the authority of your spirit. Your spirit has to be the dominant person. If your spirit's a dominant person, God will eventually override all the stuff that's keeping you out of divine order, and he'll bring your life into harmony, order, glory, love, and then eventually power. Say power. I'm not talking about gift realm power. There's gift realm power, and then there's habitation power. Boy, if I get into that, I'll be too long, but I'll throw it at you. You ready? You have an anointing without measure. You have anointing in measure. The anointing in measure is the gift realm, where God severally deals out gifts according to every man. That's what you'll see in different ministries and different operations. What the Lord walked in was not regulated. He did not walk in a regulated anointing. His flowed out. That's why it says dunamis flowed out of him, and they were all healed. He healed them all. That's an anointing without measure. We want to move from in measure to without measure. That's why the gift realm, you can have all kinds of problems, and God will sit there and anoint that person day in and day out, and they could be having all kinds of issues. Elaine Homer used to talk about it because she hung around with a lot of the, she was a young girl, but she was so anointed that a lot of the healing evangelists in the 50s, 60s, they'd have her in the meetings, and she'd sing for them, but she'd go back in the back. She was unbelievable, the things you would see. The stuff that was going on. I mean, it was awful. I mean, these guys were, they had women they were sleeping with at night, and the next day they were anointed. But that's what happens in the gift realm, because the gifts and callings without measure. But we have to overcome all that. Amen. As we overcome all that, we move into the anointing without measure. And that has everything to do with your walk with God. It's a walk of holiness. It's a walk that we walk with a living God. Amen. And so this is what we're after, and this is how we're going to get there. Praise God. Look at this verse right here. In James chapter 1, look at verse 18. Of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures, or first fruit of his creation. He goes on to say, verse 22, but you being doers of the word, say doers of the word, and not hearers only. It says, be you doers and not hearers only. Now, I know a lot of you think of this verse. I'm going to be a doer of his word. I'm going to take his commandments and keep his commandments, and that's going to perfect me. It didn't perfect the people under the law, and they were under the law for thousands of years. They tried to perfect it by being under the law. And all that the law did was expose who they were. Because God gave them a commandment knowing full well they couldn't keep it. He gave them a commandment of thou shalt not. And all that commandment did was expose the fact that you cannot keep this. This is what he was talking about, the curse of the law. What the curse of the law was, he gave them a commandment to keep it. They couldn't keep it, and exposed the fact they couldn't keep it. And it brought them to repentance. Because the Bible says the law worketh repentance. Because the fact that they couldn't keep it, they had to be brought to repentance and say, Lord, we can't keep this. That's what Romans 7 was all about. It's not talking about you as a born again person, by the way. He said, the things I want to do, I can't do. Paul was talking about a man of the law. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. It's not going on I to do it, but the sin that's dwelling in me, because the law revealed the sin. Because I want to be holy, but I found I couldn't. And the things I didn't want to do, I found myself doing. It was no longer I doing it, but this, who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? I thank God, Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's why he said there's no condemning sentence for those that are in Christ. There's no condemnation, because he took that whole condemning sentence thing away. He broke the power of sin. If you're sinning, it's because your body or soul's overriding. But Christ has already set you free. He said in Romans 6, he said you were buried with him in baptism. Not you, your old man. He separates. That's why the two-edged sword's there. He separates spirit, soul, and body. He separates what belongs to Adam, what belongs to him. He is the separator by the two-edged sword, the winnowing fork. He's separating. He said, you were planted together in the likeness of his death, not you, your old man. He buried your old man and he raised your new man. And we do that every day in the mountain. We take the old man for burial. We take the new man for ascension. God is the one that separates all that. Amen. Praise God. Now I'm going to get into something really deep here, but it's really awesome. Remember the Lord gave me this revelation. It's very powerful. He said, be you doers of the word, not hearers only. He's actually talking about believing God here. He's not talking about works. Now I'll show you that. Because he's going to describe what he's talking about. Let's get his definition, not our definition. Amen? So his definition of a hearer and a doer is a little different than ours. All right? So let's look exactly what he's talking about. He said, for the hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. So here we see this mirror again. All right. He beholds his natural face in a mirror. And man, back in these days when I broke this, I meditated this probably something 10 something hours, rolling this around in my spirit. He didn't deal with me like that anymore. But back in those days, golly, when we broke the book of Romans, it took me 55 trips through the whole book of Romans to break it. That's reading the whole thing from beginning to end, beginning to end, beginning to end, 55 times. And then he went, bam, he broke the whole book open. I saw it. It went, have you ever never had a book download like that? It's pretty fascinating because I saw the whole thing. He couldn't have done that if he didn't put it in. He couldn't show it to you like that. But if any man be a hearer of the word, I kept rolling this around, not a doer. He's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. See how this, it's kind of, it was a little strange when I was meditating this. I'm like, sure, you're not telling me to look at my natural face in the mirror. I'm kind of supposed to forget my natural man, aren't I? You see what I'm saying? He said, but whoso look at the perfect law of liberty, continue therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in his deed. What must we do to work the works of God? This is the work of God. Say the work that you believe. I'm going to talk about the work of believing. So he talks about a mirror here. And he talks about a hearer and a doer. All right, you got two different people here. Yeah, the hearer is he looks at his natural face in the mirror. He sees what manner of man he's supposed to be. Don't check out on me. But then he goes his way and forgets. Why does he forget? Because he doesn't continue. He said the doer, I'm going to make all sense of this in a minute right now. It's kind of a little puzzling. He said the doer, what's a doer do? He looks and continues looking. He doesn't stop looking. He keeps continuously looking. Say looking. And this man looking into the perfect law of liberty. So you have one person that goes in front of a mirror. He looks, he sees what manner man is supposed to be. He stops looking. He gets distracted, goes on, whatever he's going to do. But the doer, say the doer, he keeps looking. All right? He's got two people going in front of a mirror. One of them looks, both of them look. They both see. One continues to see. One stops looking. So here's my question with God. What the heck are you talking about here? What in the world are you talking about? Because he says he's looking at his natural face in the mirror. So back then, I just wouldn't stand in front of a mirror. I'm like, okay, what are you talking about? I'm supposed to keep looking at this guy? I already know what this guy looks like. You know what this guy looks like. You all know what this guy, sure you're not telling me to look at myself. I know this guy. He has issues. I'm literally looking in the mirror having this conversation. I'm doing that, Tina. I'm looking in the mirror and I'm having this conversation. I'm like, I'm looking at my natural face in the mirror. I'm like, okay, the hearer's going to go his way and stop looking, but the doer, I'm just going to wake up and keep looking at this guy every morning and somehow I'm going to get blessed. I mean, there was a little problem here. And I literally would go, and I was doing this hour after hour. I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to give me some revelation. So I go for the Lord. I said, grant me spirit of wisdom, revelation. I kept meditating. I ended up with the same issue. I was looking at myself in a mirror. And I'm like, surely you're not telling me there's a blessing if I keep looking at my natural face in the mirror. How many of you know he wasn't talking about you looking at you? But I needed him to show me the revelation. I needed his word to show me a revelation. Because if we're going to get blessed looking at our own face in the mirror, something is seriously wrong with this gospel. Seriously. But that sounded like what he was saying. Go look at your natural body. I said, I already know what I look like. Everybody else knows what I look like. You know what I look like. Surely you're not telling me to keep looking at the same person. So I was meditating. And finally, the Lord said, look up the word natural. So I went to look up the word natural. And it was nativity. I'm like, well, that didn't help anything. So he looks at his nativity face in the mirror. And I kept going over it. This is how I did it in those days. Now it just drops in, bam, explodes. Back in those days, I had to work it out. Nativity, say nativity. This is such a powerful revelation when you get this. He looks at his nativity face. Nativity. And I kept, and all of a sudden I saw Jesus in a manger scene. I'm like, the nativity scene. He looks at the nativity scene. I'm like, Jesus. And the Lord, you know, the Lord has to work with us. And then finally he just had to speak it to me. Because I stayed on it long enough. He knew I wasn't going to let go. You're going to tell me what this means. Because, man, I was locked in. I knew there was something there. And then, bam, it happened. All of a sudden, he speaks to me. And he says, birth of Christ face. Say, birth of Christ face. So when he said, birth of Christ face, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This mirror, when it said natural man, it wasn't you were supposed to be looking at. He said he looks into his birth of Christ face in a mirror. I'm like, whoa. Both the hearer and the doer both look at the birth of Christ face. One continued to look, one stopped looking. Who was blessed? The doer. The doer continued, the hearer stopped. How many of you know we're all called to the glory? We're all called to this realm with God. He reveals. How many of you ever had God reveal who you are in an encounter? Or he shows you his word. How about this? Let's do it with the realm. I can do this in multiple realms. I'll pick one. Let's just deal with Christ our righteousness. The Bible says, put on righteousness, put off the old man. There's something you have to do. Well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I know you are legally, but if you're going to ever enjoy that benefit, you're going to have to put one off and put one on. Because the Bible says, put off the old man and his deeds, put on the new man. There's something you have to do. And it's not just resisting sin all your life. You got to put on the new man. The Bible says put on the new man, which is holy and without blame. Say holy without blame. The Bible says in Colossians, you're holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Do you know there's a place in Christ that you're unblameable?
unreprovable.
Well, Pastor, you don't know who I am. I can return that and say, you don't know who I am. So we don't, neither one of us need to know who we are in the old man. But that's not who he's talking about. He's talking about the new man. The Bible says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. No condemning sentence. The Bible actually says you are holy and without blame. Which one of you, I mean, I know you're all holy. I get that. Tim's holiest of all. Tim's like, I got it, man. Praise God. Say, I'm holy without blame. Okay, let me take it further. Let me take it out of reach of, because some of you, I know, think you're holy, so I get it. You actually are. It depends on which lens you're looking at, which mirror you're looking at. If you're looking at the mirror of your soul, well, your soul will never obtain that. And it'll also often remind you of who you are. Okay? So, what mirror are you looking at? He was very specific about the doer. He said the doer looks at the perfect law of liberty. Say perfect law of liberty. Completion. Perfection. How about in Hebrews chapter 10? Says you are forever perfected in Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, forever perfected. Husbands, look at your wives and say that. Say, I already know you. Don't even say it. I mean, the husbands and the wives, this is an awesome one because the husband's wife, no. You know, we all know we're not perfect because we live with each other. When you're single and you just live with you, it's a little different. But when you're living with somebody and they get to see all your imperfections, you see? And then you know your imperfections, but the Bible says, whoso look at the perfect law of liberty. You're not looking at who you are now. You're looking at what has already been done and pronounced as done and spoken as done. The Bible says you are holy and without blame. You are the righteousness of Christ. You are unblameable, unreprovable, and to add a caveat, forever perfected. So, first of all, what mirror are you going to look at? You're going to look at your mirror or God's mirror? And second of all is how long are you going to look at God's mirror? Because the hearer is only going to look a couple of times and he's going to go his way and do what he's going to do. The only way you're really going to change is look at that mirror continuously. You have to drag yourself in front of God's mirror in His glory. And here's the hardest part, because when His glory, it magnifies. His glory is full of light, right? So what's light going to do? Expose everything. So when you come in light and you know you're not the righteousness of God because all your stuff, because the Bible says everything is naked and open before His glory. There's nothing that you're going to hide from Him. You can hide from everybody else. You can't hide from Him. Amen? Don't even try. But He's requiring you look at Him, not you. That was the hard part in the beginning. Because when God calls you to His glory and you have a lot of issues, there's a problem. Because when you have a lot of issues, you have you. You have your mirror, then you have God's perfect mirror. And when God first started having me do this, He would call me right out, go through the door, and put me right in front of that mirror. And guess what I was looking at? When I was looking at Him, I was supposed to be looking at Him, but I was looking at me. And it's not a pretty scene when you have a lot of issues. Because your stuff gets magnified. In the earth, you can walk around with you all the time, and you know, you're familiar with you. In the glory realm, you don't get to walk around with that. Are you with me still? In the glory realm, you gets magnified 100 times. So all your issues are magnified. How am I supposed to look at perfection when I'm very much imperfect? So every time I go in there, my heart would condemn me because I was looking at me in the light of His glory. And I'm like, what was the first thing you want to do? Walk right out. You walk right in and you walk right back out. You walk right in, I'm like, there's no way we can do this today and go back out. Amen. Even if you could get in there, most people wouldn't even go in there because their heart was already condemning them. They couldn't even get there because their heart was condemning them, because this is what happens with people trying to walk with God that have a lot of issues. Because they're not holy. And they have issues. And they have open sin. And they're open strongholds. And it's, how do you walk with God with open strongholds? You ready for this? And then you got the people that are self-righteous, and they don't think anything's wrong with them. I had that part personality too. Man, when you got both of those in you, whoo! You got a self-righteous personality. You have a narcissistic personality, ain't nothing wrong. And then you've got another personality, everything's wrong. And both of those are in the same, and both of them are called to walk with God. I'm like, oh my God. That's called dysfunction. That's kingdom dysfunction. Because you don't know which personality is going in front of the mirror. The one that hasn't got any issues, the one that has all kinds of issues. Both of them, God's going to deal with. Amen? One's going to get humble and one's going to get elevated. The real you is caught in between all that. How do you do this? That's why we need the mountain. Put the other image up if you could. God had this perfect design of how to go up into the mountain of God. Because you're going to deal with every part. And when he's done, he's going to perfect every part. See, you go through the door, throne of grace, Jordan baptism, back to the throne of grace. We'll get into that later. Stay with me here. So as I go in, notice what we weren't going in with. We weren't going in with works. We're going in by faith. Why? Because God gave you an access. It says, I am the door. If any man entereth in to this door, he will be saved. So be saved. I mean, we are all in that door, right? And then he'll go in and out. Go in and out of where? I remember in the early days, we'd go through the door. I'm like, we got through the door. We got through the door. You could feel the shift. Now we can just step right through. So let me just stay in this particular area, because I can do this in many areas, but I'm trying to make a point here, how this mirror works. So in this mirror, we go in front of this mirror. Let me use the personality of the dysfunctional personality, not the narcissist. The narcissist was a whole other mirror. We'll get into that another time. Let's look at the one with a fault and failure. Amen? So you get enough faith to get in front of the Lord, and then what happens? You're getting in front of his mirror. He says you're holy and without blame, but you see all your fault. What do? Well, of course you repent. That's the first level. But then what are you going to do every day after you repent? There has to be a time you're going to have to start believing that what he said about you is greater than what you feel and see about you. Because he never said for you to look at yourself. If you keep looking at yourself, you're going to get condemned. You're going to walk straight out. There's no condemnation. See? So as I go in front of this mirror, he required me to believe that I was holy when everything in me knew that I wasn't. Because it's not your holiness. It's his free gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, the Father of lights. His gift, his righteousness is a free gift to you. It's not something you get to earn or deserve. You have to accept, receive, and believe. So every day I'd go in front of this mirror, and I was going through all this because I knew me. I knew he knew me, but he was trying to get me in front of a perfect mirror. And every day I was having a problem. So he started speaking to me. He said, what I need is your first thing I need is your agreement. What do you mean in my agreement? He goes, I need you to agree that I made you perfect. I need you to agree that you are holy and without blame. I need you to agree that you're unblameable and that I present you faultless. So I had all these words he gave me, and I was standing in front. This is how I started doing this. And I'd stand in front of this mirror, and I'm holy. and without blame. That's the hardest thing to do when you're not holy and you are blamable. I first repent, right? And he'd get me right in front. He would go every day was an exercise. He does this to me now, but a different area. And I go right in front of this mirror and I say, I am holy and without blame. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable I am with you. I kept doing it. I said, I agree with who I am. When everything in me was screaming, no. Unless the narcissist was there and he's definitely holy. That was another guy. God had to deal in another realm with him. Let's just stick with the other guy for now. Holy, say holy. Because this mirror was reflecting the greatest truth of all, that in Christ I was holy. This is how he taught me how to exchange. As I learned to do this every day, my faith started growing. I'm holy. Did you change? No, not yet. But I was changing in him. Because I learned to pull all my struggles and put it right in front of God. And I learned to stop being intimidated. And I learned that God loved me. He first accepted me. And he offered me a place in him that was different than the place that I saw in myself. He offered me to look into him, perfection. And every day that I started agreeing, my faith grew and grew until here's what happened. I could have all these issues. I just walked straight up to him, repent, and I started exchanging. All of a sudden, I wasn't walking back out in condemnation. All of a sudden, I was like, oh, I'm holy. And he did a literal exchange there. When you talk about hearing me exchange, he was doing it. Man, I'm thirsty today for some reason. I was doing a literal exchange. Say, I would exchange, and all of a sudden, my faith was obtaining in him who I was. Because it's the righteousness of God by faith, not of works. And when I was doing that, I was obtaining who he was. That's how I obtained his love. That's how we're going to obtain his life. Same thing. But I was obtaining something in that realm with him, and I kept coming. This man will be blessed. And all of a sudden, I was receiving something that I wasn't yet in the earth, but I was in him. Am I making any sense here? When you learn to do this, you are being offered a power that's beyond yours. You're not going to get there by grinding it out and just repenting every day and abasing yourself. You're going to have to start looking at who you are in him and stop looking at who you are, because you're not going to overcome who you are in the natural by looking at yourself. The enemy will drag you down, but there is a mirror. Say, there is a mirror. There's a mirror of righteousness. There's a mirror of God's love that'll take the orphan spirit. I'd do the same thing with his love. Had to go in front of him and said, I am accepted in the beloved. And I would quote scriptures of love when everything in me felt I was not loved. And he did this at a time the church had broken and busted, and there was no love flowing anywhere except in the throne. This is how God works. I'm trying to tell you there's a realm of perfection. Now he's starting to introduce us to the life factor, the one that's going to override death. It happens there first and then here. Amen? What we're trying to do is get all that to just drop on us here. It doesn't work that way. That's why you go up in the first place. We exchange. We do it all by his word. I don't need an encounter because I encounter his word. Because when you learn to do this, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. It says, beholding as in a mirror. The doer, all the difference is both of you can see it. The doer stayed with it. The hearer did not. Because as you stay with it, what you're receiving now, once I receive my righteousness, I can go in front of the Father. Father, I am the righteousness God of Christ. See, I'm free to move around heaven now. I can move around this realm. I can move freely because I'm not bound. See, with God, what you don't understand with the Father, he allowed his son to pay such an ultimate price for you. Such an ultimate price. Listen to me. That what he requires is faith. There is a time of repentance. And you got to do that. But there's a time of faith. You have to believe what has been given to you freely. you're not going to work for this salvation. You're going to have to believe it. From head to toe, you got to believe it. And that mirror is the most powerful thing I've ever seen, because it's a finished work. You're looking at a finished realm, and it'll draw you into its perfection. Instead of you trying to perfect yourself in the earth, it'll walk you into perfection. And the more you obtain there, see, once I obtain, then I go before the Father. I'm giving you mysteries, my friends. You're going to see this stuff roll out in rivers here pretty soon. When I stand before the Father, I say, Father, I am the righteousness of God. Thy will be done on the earth now, as it is here. What am I asking? The perfection I've obtained here, I want to see it in my life in the earth now. Empower me with perfection that I've already obtained with you. Some of you got what I just said, some of you didn't, but the ones who did. What you obtain there, that's when you pray, thy Father, thy will be done on the earth. He says, when you believe God, when you stand praying, believe you receive. You have to believe you receive the finished realm. Then you can ask God to do it in the earth. I just gave you a great mystery for those of you that just heard that. In every area this works. There's not a single area Christ has not perfected for any of us. There's not a single area that's not already been perfected. You have to identify what's been perfected. You're going to have to agree with it. You're going to stand in front of that mirror. And you're going to have to stay and stay and stay until you receive its perfection. Then once you start learning to receive its perfection, then you ask God, now do it in the earth. And this is how God's going to perfect his people in the last days. You don't walk away from the mirror. You stand there and let it reflect its glory. And you believe it if it takes everything in you to believe it. Because the higher realms of God are the harder ones. Because he's shining such glory and he's asking you to believe this is who you are. When there's nothing in you that actually is reflecting that. It's not supposed to reflect it. You're supposed to get it there and then get it here. We're trying down here to try to perfect ourselves, and look at us. Who's walking around in power right now anywhere? I mean, real power. Raise the dead power. Not many. When God wants everyone, he's got to bring some perfection in our life, and this is how he's going to do it. This will work for the love of God for the orphan. It'll work for life. That's what we're after now. It'll work for the crown. It'll work for so many areas. It's just how much, what do you want? What do you want? You get it there first, then here. So you get it there, then here. You're going to have to obtain it. Believe you receive it, get clothed in it, then it'll come here. When it comes here, it's going to come with power. He's going to wipe generational dysfunction off the face of the map down here. Now, here's the glory. This, I'm going to close now. I'll give you enough because I've already reached overload, I know. Here's the glory. Here's the kicker. When you get authority like this over an area, you have authority to minister it into the earth. God will give you authority to help people. Authority to minister it in the earth. I pray you get this. If it went over your head, I pray you listen to this until you understand the concept of what I'm saying. Because I promise you, everything he's brought me in front of is the same concept. He's requiring us to believe. This is the work of God, that you believe. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Don't worry about if you got issues. God is well able. Trust me. When he called me, don't worry if you got issues. Just don't stop. Be a doer. Be a believer, a continuous believer of the mirror of God. Whatever you're looking at, you'll become. Amen.